Think on your feet for our Fast and Curious 5K, a one-of-a-kind race hosted by WBEZ and the Chicago Sun-Times on Saturday, July 27th at Humboldt Park. More info and early bird registration at WBEZ.org/events.
I'm Sasha Ann Simons, and this is Reset. Without even thinking about it, your veins are pumping blood, your lungs are taking in oxygen, and your gut is digesting the food that you've eaten. But there's more to your gut than you might think. The gut is home to trillions of microscopic organisms, like bacteria, that help us break down food into energy that our body can actually use. Plus, our gut microbiome has also been found to influence our mood, food choices, and brain function. But how? Well, this phenomenon is called the mind-gut connection. And today on the podcast, we're exploring how it works and how it can influence how we experience our day-to-day lives. I sat down with Elise Bedell to learn more. She's an assistant professor of psychiatry, behavioral neuroscience, and medicine at UChicago Medicine. And Elise starts off by defining her field of study.
Psychogastroenterology is a field concerned with both the research and clinical practice that sits at the intersection of gastroenterology as well as psychology.
Okay. So how new is this field of research?
So I think it's really been formalized as a field within the last actually 5 or 10 years, but it's been practiced, I would say, for closer to 20. Mm-hmm. And we've had lots of emerging clinical practice as well as research evidence that has formed the basis of this field for many decades.
Yeah. So how did we find out about it in the first place?
Yeah. So I think that a lot of people had the lived experience of struggling with GI conditions, struggling with GI symptoms, and then seeing that connection between their mood, their emotions, their thoughts and their behaviors. And really, I would say that both the mental health field and the field of gastroenterology have been observing this intersection, and it's been more recently that both mental health professionals and gastroenterologists have teamed up, both in research capacities and, again, in their clinical practice, to understand better what that connection is.
I see.
Between our minds and our guts, leading us to that mind-gut connection.
Well, dig more into that. Like, what did we understand about the GI system? Like, did we only think that it just digested our food?
Yeah. So I think that in the past, we had this idea of our gut just being kind of this mechanical process where it really just digested the food and there wasn't all that much more to it. And now we actually have a much more sophisticated understanding of the functions of the gut, including that it has its own nervous system called the enteric nervous system. Mm-hmm. I'll also say, going back then, if we talk about the brain, is we also had this understanding that folks who struggled with uncomfortable or chronic GI symptoms, we use that term in the past, psychosomatic, that okay. experiences that they were having in their gut were really just sort of a direct translation from a mental health problem into their gut. Again, now what I would say is now much more firmly understood is that it is neither of those things. Our gut is actually quite sophisticated, having its own nervous system called the enteric nervous system that interacts with our brain and our central nervous system, and that folks who are struggling with uncomfortable GI symptoms, there is also much more to it than simply that mental health conditions are being expressed in the gut. This is a bi-directional two-way street that we are understanding more and more.
So our gut has an impact on our mood, but the connection is not just a one-way street, right?
Absolutely.
It goes both ways. Tell us more about how you've seen stress, anxiety, and depression really impact our digestive health, because I'm fascinated by the connection to begin with.
Yeah. So I would say, just first off, pretty much anyone could relate to that experience of noticing that some sort of source of stress in their life impacts their gut if they have ever experienced, you know, having butterflies in their stomach. Mm-hmm. You know, I was on my way here and I was like, yep, I'm talking about the mind-gut connection and it is real. I'm feeling the jitters, right? I'm feeling it elsewhere in my body, but I'm feeling it in my
gut.
Absolutely.
Oh.
Yep. If you've heard or used the expression, you know, oh, that was a punch to the gut when I heard that news. those are figures of speech for a reason, because we actually have that experience of stress that manifests in our body in lots of ways, including increased blood pressure, increased heart rate, sweating, right?
Yeah.
But our GI tract is intricately involved in our experience of stress. And when I say stress, I really am talking about that physiological experience of stress. That's called our sympathetic nervous system, or that fight, flight, or freeze response. Our GI tract is meant to be a part of that process. But if we're experiencing stress a lot or on a chronic basis, that can get us into trouble. So when we think about somebody with chronic stressors in their life or mental health conditions like anxiety or depression, it is an absolute natural consequence that their gut is going to experience uncomfortable symptoms associated with that stress in their body.
Yeah, I'm thinking of just going through heartbreak and just like really the just like trying times and then not being able to eat or my stomach hurting and wondering how the two are related.
And in fact, as a clinician, as a psychologist, and in my work as a therapist, those are some of the most common times that people might present for treatment is after a loss, after a breakup, or conversely, it might be after a horrible bout of gastroenteritis, being on vacation and getting food poisoning. So it's either these more psychosocial stressors or stressors that are more internal to us, so actually changes in the body like an infection or having to be on multiple bouts of an antibiotic that can really change our gut and can cause these chronic symptoms.
I'm really interested in learning more about the work that you do with your patients who suffer with GI issues, right? Like inflammatory bowel disease or irritable bowel syndrome. We also know that as IBS. How are you taking a gut-focused approach there when it comes to treating them? Like you're using cognitive behavioral therapy?
Yeah, absolutely. So I would say first off, it's important to recognize that these disorders are treated from a multidisciplinary approach. So actually, you know, for most of us as gastrointestinal health psychologists or GI psychologists, we're usually actually taking referrals from the gastroenterology team, where they are, you know, these are folks that should be really thoroughly evaluated to understand what might be any causes of their gastrointestinal symptoms. And then we are being consulted from our expertise really in the brain and that mind-gut connection to be able to help patients understand what factors like their thoughts and their emotions and their behaviors might actually be impacting those symptoms. And that's really regardless of the type of diagnosis that the patient might be presenting with. So you mentioned inflammatory bowel disease or IBD is known to have a different etiology than disorders that might have more of a gut-brain implication like irritable bowel syndrome or IBS. But nonetheless, the way we think about and the way that we cope with stressors in our life, including gut symptoms themselves as stressors, can impact those symptoms.
Yeah.
Right? They can further actually impact the symptoms that we're experiencing in our gut.
Yeah. And so then I'm curious with, you know, with that said, how this new understanding of how the gut communicates with the brain sort of shaped how you treat patients today. There had to be some sort of evolution, right? As you learn more.
Yeah, absolutely. So in the past, it wouldn't have been unusual for a patient to be referred to someone like me, let's say a patient that has irritable bowel syndrome or IBS, and kind of be told, well, this is psychosomatic, right? This is something that's going on in their head. And so you as the psychologist kind of need to address this. And maybe in that case, and we're talking really, you know, maybe 20, 30 years ago, but unfortunately, this even sometimes happens in present day, maybe for providers who are not as well versed in newer research and understanding on this, that they might have actually just been told, you just need to treat this as a mental health issue.
Right.
Whereas, in fact, there are lots of, as we're talking about today, there's lots of aspects of the brain and behavior that do impact IBS and other similar conditions. But to assume that it is purely psychological would also be ignoring the large body of research that also is growing on the implications of diet, on the implications of the microbiome, right? This is newer research that's coming out that is really supporting that these disorders are from a biopsychosocial perspective. There's biomedical influences, there's social influences in how these symptoms present and then continue, as well as those psychological symptoms.
And we're using words like microbe and microbiome. Can you define microbiome for us?
So I would say that a microbiome is actually considered to be its own organ at this point. And sometimes when we talk about the brain-gut connection, we really talk about it as the brain-gut microbiome connection. And so the microbiome is really mostly in our gut, but there are other areas of the body that contain microbiome as well. But they're really our body's organisms, are those microorganisms, those little critters that can be doing good or doing bad, right? So what we do know is that though the microbiome can actually be influenced by a host of factors, again, including what we eat, including stress,
yes,
and they can really differ person to person, especially when we're looking at a person who has a chronic digestive condition compared to somebody that doesn't.
Yeah, we talked a moment ago about some of that cognitive behavioral therapy. Another form of treatment is gut-directed hypnotherapy.
Yeah, so GI, CBT, I'll start with that first, is really a cognitive behavioral therapy, which we use for lots of times for mental health conditions, but it's really been adapted for use in patients who are dealing with chronic digestive concerns. And gut-directed hypnotherapy is really actually using hypnosis, but in a clinical manner, meaning we're actually doing it with a certain type of medical goal.
Mm-hmm.
And both GI CBT and gut-directed hypnotherapy have been widely researched and used clinically. And I would say most, this is in patients with IBS. It's a large fraction of the population actually experiences IBS. So we have a lot of research on that. And they are both evidence-based treatments.
I see.
So hypnotherapy is something that when I talk to people, a lot of times they're not familiar with. It sounds a little hippy-dippy.
Well, I just know it's being used in a lot of different arenas now.
Yes, absolutely.
Right? Places you wouldn't even imagine.
You wouldn't necessarily imagine, yeah. And within health psychology, so, you know, psychologists who are working with medical populations or on medical issues, it's actually a very widely used treatment. It could be in particular really helpful for pain among some other types of physical symptoms.
I see. So what else can impact our GI health, our gastrointestinal health?
Yeah, so something that can come up a lot, and I think that we need more research on this as well, and mm-hmm. research is being done, but I think it's important to also just think about sociocultural stressors and how these can impact our gut. So for not just the food you eat, but do you have good access to food? That can certainly affect the function of our gut.
Interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Things like racism and sexism, these types of chronic stressors that folks can experience, we also are coming to understand how these can change actually the function of our gut. And these are likely also changing the gut microbiome. This is maybe less surprising when you think about how, even in early childhood, trauma can impact our bodies so profoundly. And our gut is one place in which trauma can really end up playing out. So whether we think about chronic stressors that people might experience in the form of sort of the isms or microaggressions, whether that be in the past or present, those are things as well that we might be helping patients understand.
There's a lot to be mindful of in our day-to-day, it sounds like.
Absolutely. Yeah.
As far as that, you know, gut connection. So this is still a growing field of research, Elise, and science. In your view, what do we still have yet to understand? And what are you most interested in learning more about?
Yeah, so I think that we have a lot more to understand in terms of just being able to have our research and our science really be able to reflect what we are seeing clinically all the time from our patients.
Yeah.
So I'll give in one example, my patients with inflammatory bowel disease, Crohn's disease and ulcerative colitis, many, if not most of them, will endure some connection between stress and either the onset of their symptoms and their diagnosis, or stress and any recurrent flares that they experience. At this point, our research has not fully been able to perceive that connection. It's growing. That research is
really
coming.
Do you ever
really
feel like you're moving
along
at too fast a pace?
Yes. Too fast and too slow, right? You know, I think...
at the same time.
Yes, exactly. You know, we really, you know, I think in this field, we really learn so much from the people that we treat, and that really advances our research. But I would say in a lot of ways, our research can sometimes still be too, I would say almost too basic science to really be applied yet to our patients.
I see.
So really trying to have some of that clinical science as well be able to catch up.
Well, Elise, leave us with this. I mean, what can folks do to improve their gastrointestinal health?
Yeah,
what can they start doing?
Yeah, I think one of the first things is just to be able to recognize how much what you think about and what you do can impact your gut's functions. And so that by that, I mean, of course, paying attention to your mental health,
yeah.
Recognizing that if you're struggling with chronic stress, whether it comes to family or work, that is going to affect your gut. Similarly, if you're struggling with anxiety or depression, you really want to make sure that you are addressing that to improve the function of your gut health. But also the things that might be obvious are obvious for a reason. What you put in can matter. And so if you feel like you're noticing that you are experiencing gut functions that don't seem to be quite normal.
What is this? What's this feeling?
Certainly, you know, consulting with a gastroenterologist, but ideally one who really does work with part of that multidisciplinary team, working with a dietitian that's trained in working with GI conditions, you know, with a psychologist that has that expertise as well. Because if you're only working on the gut, you're really just working with one half of that important puzzle and ignoring many of those other factors.
We'll leave it there. Elise Bedell is an assistant professor of psychiatry, behavioral neuroscience, and medicine at UChicago Medicine. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
I learned a lot. This episode of the Reset Podcast was produced by Micah Yasin, edited by Meha Ahmed, and mixed by Brenda Ruiz. Now, if there's a health topic that you would like us to cover here on Reset, email us at reset@wbez.org or leave us a voicemail at 888-915-9945. I'm Sasha Ann Simons. We'll talk again tomorrow.
Have you ever wondered why anyone drinks Malort? Or if there are actually lobsters in the Chicago River? Then listen to the Curious City podcast, where we answer all your questions about Chicago and the region. WBEZ's Curious City is part of the NPR network and available wherever you find your podcasts.